The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
Missing this?
When that didn't materialise, I think both Paulie and myself probably looked at each other and kind of thought, what next?
Then get this, the all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home, featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Now, very happy to say our guest this evening on Wednesday Night Rugby is the Leinster coach, Leo Cullen. Leo, how you doing? Thanks for the time.
Yeah, delighted to be here. Great honour to be asked.
We've asked you for weeks, months. You've been avoiding us.
I've been stalking you, so I have.
So, to jump off, I know you had a busy morning. You were at the Aviva Stadium. You were helping out with the As I Am charity. They're Ireland's national autism charity, and you were lending your support. They seem to be doing great things. They're giving out 1,000 sensory kits to children as they try and go back to school at the moment. This is a charity you're very fond of. It's close to your heart.
Yeah, no, definitely. Only recently now. So like this is the first event that I've done with As I Am. So Adam Harris, who set up As I Am, very impressive individual who is autistic himself, through various different friends, really, like in, you know, as we were becoming parents in recent times and we tried to understand like our own children and all the various different challenges that come with that. And some of the kids with different learning abilities and the way they learn. And, you know, for us, like as a sports body here at Leinster, but like, you know, obviously everyone has their own family piece as well. So I've been really impressed with Adam and the work that he's done. A lot of it around, you know, sort of setting up a lot of different towns around the country. So they're set up, like they're autism friendly. So making sensory spaces for kids. We were down in the Aviva Stadium earlier on, as you said, and you know there's a sensory room in the Aviva, so the more we can be inclusive, the better. Like, you know, for us as Leinster as a club, so there's lots of different things that are hitting, you know, positive notes for me. You know what the purpose of today was. You know, As I Am are giving out 1,000 packs for kids that are going to go back to school now. So huge challenge, so much discussion on the airwaves around kids going back to school. And I suppose some of the challenges that parents have had in getting kids back to school. But then there's kids that are on the spectrum that are used to certain routine. That routine is now very different, you know, than what the walk around the streets, like it's just different now, isn't it? You know, when you see people with face coverings, etc. So for an autistic child, what that is like, the disruption of not having the, you know, some of the one-to-one tuition or some of that specialist care is usually challenging. So, you know, the packs are about trying to set the kids up for when they go back, that they're able to, you know, be comfortable or as comfortable. So trying to help out the parents in many cases. Yes. Because all that early intervention is, you know, I suppose the literature and research that I've looked at, you know, that early intervention is hugely important. So, you know, from our point of view, like the parallels are very similar because, you know, our guys have been, the Leinster players have been on lockdown like everybody else. And now you're trying to get back into, you know, small baby steps in terms of returning to train. You know, when we came back initially, we were in very, very small groups. Where, you know, we're not even throwing rugby balls around the place. So to build it up to it's passing.
Yeah.
So social distancing rugby doesn't really work, but we're making the steps step by step, but trying to be very cognizant of the fact we have to take baby steps starting off.
And I want to be respectful of your privacy here, so I'll follow your lead in this respect. This came into your life, is it through your own family, your daughter? Is that when you first encountered autism in a real way?
No, like more through some of my friends, really, like, and it's just understanding how common it is. But like, I've been very aware of, you know, kids, you know, from when I was in school myself, like I'm thinking, jeepers, like there's something not like quite right there. Like, what's, why is this kid slightly different to the rest of us, you know? So, and, you know, I was trying to be very helpful to everybody around us, really, you know, and just being respectful to people that are that little bit different, so to speak, you know. So, we're all, obviously, everyone is clearly different, but just the way some of us learn is going to be very, very different. So, understanding what this, the spectrum of autism is, and, you know, kids are going to be sitting at various different ends of that. So, yeah, so like as we go on ourselves, and you become a lot more aware as a parent then, right?
And as a parent, that is, I mean, everyone anticipates, I think, that everything will be perfect with their kids, or that's the hope, or that's the plan. And then you digest news like that, or a diagnosis like that. Is that a terribly difficult thing, a shocking thing, or not so bad, or manageable?
Yeah, like, you know, like, we all want our kids to fit in, but, like, you know, we just need to make sure, like, when you're watching your children the whole time, I think you're looking at, okay, like, what are different signs for certain things? So, we're not like your own kids or someone else's kids or whatever that is. So, without going into any specifics, like, I've seen it with other friends, but I've also seen then, like, the transformation that kids can have if they get the appropriate level of care and attention. And that's the big thing. Like, there's lots of supports out there. I think, you know, lots of parents will have struggled through the period, you know, of a one child in junior infants, and I've been homeschooling, and our other child, she's a little bit younger now, so she's not at primary school yet, but, you know, not sort of preschool world. And just trying to get them the learning supports like everybody else, and very similar to what we do here, trying to set them up to succeed at whatever it is they want to do. So just want everyone's happy, contented kids, and they turn into happy and contented people, and go about, you know, being their best selves, basically. So, I think the big thing is for people that there is lots of support out there, and just making sure that we're looking after, you know, society's looking after kids, because, like, I do strongly believe the early intervention piece is so important. You know, and there's been great challenges with COVID and lockdown for so many different families out there. So, I've sort of seen some of that at various different levels. But, I think just from a general message is, you know, like, when you see certain signs, I think it's important to ask the question and try and get some help and assistance, because there is help and assistance. And, you know, none of us have all the answers, you know, but it's important to try and share from some of the experiences. Something we talk about all the time, you know, from our own guys, you know, and, like, for us as a club, even, like, that legacy piece, like, and how do we, kind of, what is that legacy word? What does it actually mean? But it's kind of passing it on down, so the younger guys coming through have a greater respect and understanding for what's been there before them, and so they can pick up the baton, so and make the experience better for the next person. So I think we all have that responsibility.
Very good. Well, As I Am is the charity, and they're doing great things over the next while. And you were lending your support this morning, so we wish them well with that. So the legacy thing, is that mean there's just lots of pictures of Leo Cullen around the training ground and me in my heyday? Look at me.
Here's not how to do it. That's what it was, basically. And they're like, the players are looking, I don't know where I do that anymore.
Yes.
The disadvantage of lockdown is lots of those older games being on the TV.
Sure, yeah. I suspect they haven't aged as beautifully as they did in the mind.
No. It's pretty ugly stuff, yeah.
We had Dan McFarland on last night, and I was asking him, you know, he's done a really good job. Is the general consensus, would he have taken it if we'd offered it to him at the start of his tenure 2 years ago? And he said no. Maybe it's just that kind of type A personality, I don't know. 5 years ago, 36-year-old Leo Cullen, I presume you would have taken this.
I don't know. The transition from player to coach, you know, like, I as an avid sports fan, like, I've read lots of bad stories about players doing it. So, you know, you're not really, the odds aren't really in your favor to do it very successfully. Anything that I'd looked at. So, I knew there's going to be huge challenges in it. Big leap of faith really from the club. So I've always felt like I've had huge support here. I think we've all tried to do things for the right reason. Do we get everything right? I don't. Obviously, we don't. You know, so we make mistakes along the way. But yeah, like I've had a lot of support from, you know, from my personal side of my life, family-wise, and friends, and from the club have been amazing here as well. So yeah, like I think we're always scratching the surface in terms of what the potential is out there. So, you know, I still believe that. I think we're still scratching the surface. You know, we want to dig a bit deeper, getting, you know, broaden the appeal of the game, and making sure that, you know, any kid that's out there in the province that, you know, has ambitions, or any kid out there anywhere really for that matter, goes, I'd love to play for that team, that they have a genuine route of being able to do that. So that's something that we try to work on all the time. It's a competitive space for kids. And obviously there's other sporting bodies out there as well, trying to sort of sell the same picture. But, you know, like when ultimately what we want to, like, you know, success is like winning trophies and all that are great, but like there's always a bigger picture out there as well, isn't there? You know, like you want to, like the proper, what that word legacy, like it gets bandied around a little bit too much. But like ultimately, like you, when you're seeing our kids are turning on to watch Leinster and they're, you know, they're seeing, or anyone for that matter is seeing, I guess, positive characteristics that they want to be associated with. And I guess that's what a proper legacy is. But like all these things, it takes a long time to build, but it doesn't take that long to undo some of the hard work sometimes.
No, I'm sure. In that first season, how calm were you? You know, because it seemed like you were thrown in a little bit prematurely than might have been planned. Matt O'Connor departed. There were some grim days, as you well know. In that first year, you never, insofar as I could see, and I watched pretty much all your post-match interviews, there was never a crankiness, there was never a wobble. You never looked ashen-faced overly. Now, maybe you're just a damn good actor. But I thought you—I thought you held it together from just a calmness point of view. How much kicking was going on beneath the surface? How big a part of you was thinking, "Am I cut out for this at all? Like this is not going well."
I don't look back that much, to tell you the truth. It's hard to even, like, when he asked me these questions, I'm like, "Bloody hell!" I thought we were talking about something completely different, and that's reality. Like, I don't look back at that time that much. Like, you know, if I look back at it now. You know, like there's always a bigger picture in your mind, and it's like, okay, well, like I understand what the bigger picture is, and like you can see some of the potential of training with some of the players, and okay, like you lose a couple of tight games, and like that's the story for lots of teams out there, isn't it? Like it's the margins are so fine, you lose a couple of games, and you know, then it becomes like this big catastrophe all of a sudden. So,
When Wasps come to the RDS and you know, record losing margin, you must be thinking, good God, what have I walked into here, or no?
Yeah, but like even the makeup of that game, like I think it was something like, I remember, like it's over 70% possession, and you know, we're hammering away their try line, we don't score. Like, but then you have to ask yourself the question, like, why is that? You know, like, you, like I don't want to sound like one of these coaches that just throws stats, convenient stats out there to paint a certain picture.
It's interesting. You went logical straight away. You know, so you went straight into, let's break down the problem, let's diagnose it, and let's fix it, as opposed to, good God, my hair's on fire. That's the point I'm making. You had that natural sense of assuredness, I think.
Yeah, I do remember being like, yeah, pretty frazzled after that game because of like, it was the first European game. Like we didn't have a huge amount of lead into that game. Like even the preparations for that game, there was a couple of things where we lost a few players in the lead into that game. And like, it's just little things, like you need a little bit of luck along the way, which we didn't seem to get a huge amount of in those early parts. And then once you're out of the competition, then it becomes this massive problem, you don't qualify from Europe, you know, like, and obviously then the rest is history, as they say. And then you're not, like, you're out of the reckoning in the last two games, and sometimes you get a bit of a blowout in the scoreboard, and we played Wasps and we did nothing at stake, and whereas they did. And again, you know, even the picture of behind you, Johnny went off at about 7 or 8 minutes in that game over Wasps, and you know, then like we're a little bit scrambling, even though we were good in the first half at all, but second half then the score blew out. But anyway, as I said, like it's a long time ago now. But it's just about like, how do we get better? Like, how do we get better? Like, you just have to be very open and honest about what that is.
Yeah.
There's personnel, you know, is part of it, and you make some changes along the way. But like, when you inherit a squad and the season's up and running, the players are off at the World Cup, and you know, like I was just, you know, sort of, maybe I was the only man standing here, really. it's important to remember some of these things, you know, so like I'm the only person here. It's like, who are we going to give the job? No one really seems to want to do it. So there's a little bit of that, like, and then you just make the best of the situation you're in. So sometimes you've got to just make the best of the situation you're in. And you go and you take your step and let's get a little bit better. And how do we focus on performance? The club were very supportive. And like, you know, then the following pre-season, we had
were the club always supportive? You never kind of got an inkling of, I'm looking over my shoulder a touch here.
No. But I'm the same. I'd be very open. We need support here, we need support there. Some things we can get done, some things then, okay, that's not realistic. So, and obviously you're working with the constraints with the union as well. And there's, that relationship is hugely important. So, it has to work for both parties. But then, if you go back to what's the process, it's okay. At the end of the day, we get to a final that season as well. We lose in the Pro 14. We have a very good performance in the semi-final against Ulster where we win well. We go on to the final, we up against Connacht, and it was just, even the week in that game, and there were certain things, Issa seems to be quite a common theme because he got injured before that Wasps game, that first round. He got injured. I can picture him getting injured. We trained down in Greystones and he got injured on the pitch. And I was like, maybe that was my fault, maybe a different service, blah, 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 if we train somewhere else. And then he broke his arm in that game against Ulster in the semi-final. Yeah. It's little things like that, the influence of certain personalities. But there's a huge lesson in that alone as well, because you can't rely on one player because that's something that we've become more adept at, being able to manage that, crisis. We're not a team of 15 individuals. We're like a huge squad where we use 50 plus players every year. We need to rely on players stepping in, whether that's on the day of a game where, a player pulls out because of whatever that is. I go back to that Pro 14 final. Poor old Devin Toner, he rings me the day before, we're just about to get leave here in New City and get a call, his old man just passed away. And there was all these little subplots going on. It is what it is. And Connacht were the better team of the day. And you don't want to take anything away from them. Because you get beaten by the better team. Everyone has to deal with all these different variables being thrown at you. So it's important that, you cover all the what-if scenarios. And that you learn that through experience. And sometimes it's painful experience.
Yeah. Of course, I can imagine. If you fast forward then to your grasp or your handle on the job now, you've obviously got a brilliant management team alongside you, which is very clear. What's your day-to-day role? Are you out in the training ground regularly and often? Are there certain aspects of the game, be it line out or others, that you're very much hands-on with, or is it more of a standoffish, big picture kind of a role?
I sort of move around, to tell you the truth, So there's different aspects to that, of the game. So if you think the game is structured and unstructured, Stuart coaches the unstructured game for us. I think it's been pretty well documented. The structure piece and how we launch from set piece. Traditionally I would have had from line out, there's usually, you're talking 12 to 15 line outs on average per team, per game. So how you set up defensively and from an attack point of view, how I work with whoever the backs coach, obviously Felipe, and Felipe will come up with starter plays and how we go about trying to unlock a team from a defensive point of view, how we try and set up, and all the coaches will work across that. Since Robin comes in, with the coaches, that when John Fogarty, it's great reflection, I think, on him and the program, that he gets recognition that he goes on to work with the national team, just like so many of the players. But then what does that give us? It gives us an opportunity to go to the market and see who else is out there. So Robin has been amazing since he's come in. If you think of that as a four head coach, call it what you want, really. The job titles are the job titles.
Sure.
The way we work is, very much four of us together. And I guess feeding into that then as well is Emmett Farrell, who works as our kind of kicking and skills, but he's also our lead analyst. So, Emmett, again, that's someone I've known since school. The work that he puts in, because he's scouting, he's always looking ahead for us. He'll present back to the coaches, as in the four coaches. Something we have slightly different is Hugh Hogan, who's a contact skills coach. And what is contact skills coach? It's probably just the way we saw the game going and seeing the need from a performance point ultimately. So that's the most important bit. But there's a bigger picture then as well. So because concussion was such a big issue, the game of rugby is quite simple. We can complicate it, but it's basically based around a collision between a ball carrier and someone who's trying to tackle him. And whoever wins that battle, you know, or whichever team is on top there, generally wins the game, because what are we trying to do? Get the ball, score down the other end of the field. So, like, it's reasonably simple. Like, you can make the game very complicated. So the contact skills piece is, again, but a lot of it is around, okay, like, so from a performance point of view and how we enter and win this collision, both sides of the ball. But then there's the safety piece as well, because, you know, like, we want to make the game safe, for as safe as possible. Because, again, there is a contact involved. You know, like, I remember taking up rugby and loving it straight away, and you run around and you can see kids the way they are. Like, they're like, I have kids down myself, and, like, you know, some of the kids, like, love that kind of rough and tumble, you know. But it's trying to make that as safe as possible. So there's a huge amount of work that Hugh does in terms of working with our backroom team, physios, S&C coaches, rehab coaches, because, you know, like, even that return to contact, whatever injury a player has, learning from the past, you know, again, this legacy piece, like, so learning from the past, so a player comes through and the process is better for the next player. So, you know, being talked about James Ryan's injury, he's come back from a shoulder injury. So, A, how did he get that shoulder injury? So we'll dig into that. And quite often it's due to, you know, poor technique, poor footwork, whether they're overreaching or whatever it is. Same with the concussion piece. Like, it's because players, the tacklers, get themselves in poor positions and get knocked out. A lot of, obviously, talk around the tackle framework to protect the ball carrier. But, you know, sometimes it's the tacklers are the ones that are the ones who, more often than not, are the ones getting knocked out. So we need to understand why that is. And you know, so we've done a huge amount of work on that.
Yeah. On that broad point, do you feel that we're heading towards shorter rugby careers? The physicality seems to grow year on year on year. I'm sure you're looking on and can even see a difference from your heyday. Are we inevitably looking at shorter rugby careers?
I don't think so, no. Like, and, you know, like, as I said, like, Johnny is there in the background. What is Johnny now? Is he 34 or 5? Not 100% sure. He'll tell
you. You're the Leinster head coach. You should know Johnny Sexton.
He only tells me he's in his 20s anyway, so I get confused.
I think Scott Fardy, 35 this month, I think, and still going strong. Yeah. But is that will we have 35-year-olds, do you think, in another decade?
But Scott Fardy, like, he's another one, like, so he's our wise owl, so he is amongst the group, and 36, I think he is. So I think players get well taken care of now, and they get managed well. Like, it's not like we're playing guys into the ground. So this idea, like, you know, we had this discussion earlier on today, like, you look at the fixture list and there's all these kind of big finals as such at the start of the season. Then you go through your normal season and there's lines toward the end. But, like, the reality is, like, players get very well managed throughout that. We know we can only get so much out of players. You know, we all know we want to, like, as in, we want to get the best out of them. So, and them giving their best. And, you know, like, so that's why sometimes some selections don't quite make sense for the wider public, maybe, that don't have all the information. Because, like, we get to see these guys and, okay, let's, rather than play guys into the ground, let's make sure that they're fit and well and able to give best account of themselves. You know, and, like, you know, when someone is missing, it's a great opportunity for someone else to step in. That's the way we view it. And trying to train to, you know, make training be able to set guys up, if that makes sense, you know.
Yes,
so the way training is, you know, so lots of guys get opportunities in training, and it's a bit more, you know, it's not just relying on, okay, well, there's the starting 15 and everyone else just hold the pads. Like, that's not the way we train.
Do you want to be a rugby coach for the rest of your life?
I would have looked at rugby coach. Who would ever want to do that? Now I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God, how did I end up in the box there? Like, being a rugby coach. So I never really thought I would get into this gig. So I just do it because I love it now. Will I do it forever? I don't know. This is the honest answer. I honestly don't know. You can't think that far ahead in this game. Like, it's, you know, you get a couple of bad results, you know, people turning you. And who knows where
you're
we
gone.
Sit.
No, it's ruthless. Yeah. It's ruthless. Like, is Dublin so important to you that you would not want to leave Dublin to pursue it? Or would you be willing, if, you know, circumstances were right, to go further afield?
Well, I'm from Wicklow, so make sure we get that in. I've been living in Wexford for part of this recent time as well. So, I don't know. Rugby gives you amazing opportunities to see parts of the world. You know, I was lucky enough to play in England for a couple of years. You know, that move came very, very quickly. It wasn't like I was unhappy in Leinster. Oddly enough, it came off the back of a number of coaches. And you know, I wasn't really clear where success was going to come from, really. And I needed to challenge myself in a new environment. I was 27 years of age at the time. Mm. But it was an amazing experience. You know, from a coaching point of view, will I get the opportunity to do that at some stage? We'll wait and see. Like, there's some great clubs out there, great teams. You know, but like, there's like, as in, this is my home club. Like, there's certain pressures that come with that. But I try to treat them as all positive pressures. Like I love getting people's opinions on what we should be doing better, or we're not, what we're doing particularly well. So, or round selection or whatever it is. So, who we should sign or et cetera, et cetera. Like, because, you know, like, I know it means so much to people, and like, it's amazing to work in a type of environment like that.
So you've been in professional rugby all your adult life. It's an unusual way to make your way through the world. What do you think are the main pros and cons of that life?
The pros are doing something you really enjoy, assuming that you do enjoy it. So, and I enjoy the process of getting ready for a game. I've missed probably not having, like, you know, the lockdown has been fantastic because, you know, again, I'll go back to this point of going back to family, but maybe I'll go back to that. There is the, you know, when you don't have a game at the weekend, you don't have that kind of, like, that kind of, this is what it's all for. Like, you're getting ready and it's trying to get better week by week, but then everyone gets to see the fruits of your labor, so to speak, because you can see it, like, the what's out on the pitch is kind of a, that's the end result of all the work that has gone in from everybody. That, so everybody feeds in. Who's the most important person? Like, I don't know. You know, like, who is the most important person? Ultimately, it's the players, because they're the ones who've got it delivered on the day. So all the different bits that go into feeding into that. The positive bit, like, of not having had games is, you know, the family piece, and you get to reconnect more. So that's probably one of the challenges of coaching, because it's pretty full on. Like, most coaches will tell you that. Like, it is full on. There's lots of bits, different bits that you're trying to manage. There's the short term, the medium term, the long term, trying to keep an eye on the bigger picture. But, like, you know, what's the most important bit in the short term is the win and the win and the win. Like, you know, lots of different coaches, like, all the different sayings that they will have to cover that. It's trying to keep both pieces going. The family, like, is like, if you commit a lot of time to something, like, there always has to be something that's you're missing out on somewhere else.
Yes.
So you miss out on certain things. Like, for us as a group, you know, the coming together, and I'm sure the same for lots of different people in lots of different walks of life, to coming together again has been fantastic, because you miss that kind of human interaction with like-minded people that are gearing themselves up to do something very similar. Because, you know, like, we go through this. Like, if you think, like, if you're involved in any team or sports club, you do everything with that team. You sacrifice certain things or different events that you don't do because you want to commit to being involved in this game, whether that's friends' weddings or whatever that event is. Yeah. You know, missing out on family time, but then you're involved in doing, like, some great things as well. So, like, that's the kind of, I don't know, this kind of seesaw weighing scales effects. Like, you know. Yeah. You know, you give too much, but, like, you got to keep the other thing going, because, you know, it might not affect me, because, like, as in, you're able to submerge your thoughts into something, whereas it'll have a negative effect potentially on somebody else. And that's probably the thing I'm mindful of. Like, again, learning from mistakes, because I've probably seen other coaches and go, cheapers, like, you know, he needs to get a bit more of a grip of the bigger picture here. So, making sure you don't get too bogged down or caught up in it.
You have 50 players to think about. Like, that's a lot of people. I didn't want to ask you earlier if it's tough or work. You trying to have video sessions with the Leinster lads or homeschool your kid and junior infants. I'm sure it's all fun and games both ways. But you've 50 to think about. So, in terms of trying to give all of them one-on-one time, or get to know them, or get a feel for what makes them tick, how does all that work?
Yeah, well, there will be a process in place here where the coaches will go about that. You know, and that's from a kind of backroom point of view as well. And I'm a bit more informal than formal than with the players off the back of that. So what's the right process? I don't know. Like, it depends who you want to ask, players or, you know, and again, it's going to that, like, everyone is different. Like, all the players are different, how they're motivated, how they see the club and the organization, how they see the world, because they're all, like, you know, you've got some players that have been playing at the time, highest level for 10 plus years. There's other players who are coming in and have yet to play for Leinster. So, there's a very broad spectrum here, So it's trying to get a bit of an understanding, get some information, again, just set them up well, and constant communication to let players know where they sort of sit, particularly around selection, because it doesn't do anyone any favors around stewing and moping around the place, because it's, you know, ultimately why we want what's best for them. So they need to understand that. So they need to understand why they may have missed out on, you know, sometimes it's a big call, as in they're nowhere near getting selected, like young players coming into the building for the first time, they're not quite ready for whatever reason, physically, or they just game sense, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's some very, very tight calls at different stages of the year. And that can be hard for players, but it's important that they understand where they sit in the bigger picture, and those communications are important. They're not easy conversations to have, but, you know, we try to have them as best we can. Don't always get them right either. But the messaging is important. Like, you know, we have I'm sure you know, as someone who asks a lot of questions, the answers can be interpreted in many different ways.
Yeah.
So it's important we understand that as well.
Mm. Last point then, you've got a busy couple of weeks coming up, not least with Saracens on the horizon, and Pro 14 I know is obviously important in a big way as well. Just on Saracens, because that, you know, they've been such a force, and even you think back to the final in Newcastle, everybody looked forward to that. There was a real sense of the two best teams in Europe going head to head, so it's brilliant this quarterfinal is going to actually happen. They're big. So they're a big unit. They put you under a lot of pressure. When you came away from the Newcastle game, for instance, did you think as a coaching setup, we got something slightly awry there? Or do you feel like we're pretty close to the game plan, and the one that we have is close enough to beating at this Saracens team? Where are you on that kind of a spectrum? Because they're a serious unit, and there's parallels with the Ireland-England thing as well over the last years. They seem to be ever so slightly on top.
That's a very fair question. Saracens, first and foremost, are a very, very good team. So, you know, they've had their challenges in recent times, but they've a lot of big people. You're right in saying that. Some of them have moved on, but there's still plenty of them left. You weren't really too sure what way it was going to wash out, and we're still not quite sure. So, Premiership in England will start next week. So you start to get some eyes on teams again, and you start to pick up the trends and have teams sort of picked up where they've left off, or what sort of shape and how they're performing, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see what all that looks like. There is the game itself that day. I thought we started the game well. You couldn't fault the lads in terms of their physical commitment, in terms of stopping some of those big men, big bodies. We get ourselves in a very good position in the game where we're, 10 points ahead. At whatever, 35 minutes, they have a man in the bin. We probably don't manage that, some of that, very well. You know, and like, it all comes back to, like, it's a reflection on how we prepare the players. So, you know, there's some things that we probably didn't get right as coaches. We've discussed that extensively in the period since. The clips, you know, like, they can be hard to pull out the laptop and sometimes and watch those games because they're still painful. Even it's well over a year now since that game took place. There's some things in that game, we could have potentially managed better. There's also, like, you've got to give credit to the opposition as well. But, you know, there was some chances that we didn't quite take in that game. Saracens were quite clinical. And then when they get their noses in front, they're a very hard team to play catch-up rugby against.
Yes.
You see that with England as well. Hard to break down, have a very strong kicking game, really strangle you as a team. So then the last 10 minutes, I thought they showed us out really well, and, you know, we didn't look like getting back into the game. So we need to probably figure that out. Like, if we are in that situation again, we don't intend to be, but if we find ourselves in that situation, how we can try and, like, unstrangle ourselves basically and get out of that kind of chokehold that a team has over us. Because there's a process that you need to go through to do it effectively. You know, obviously you've got to go about doing that, but it's important that we have those strategies in place.
Okay. Well, listen, that's all on the horizon for you. Thanks so much for taking the time. It's much appreciated. And again, I know you were helping out the As I Am charity, which people can check out if needed. Leo Cullen, thanks a million. Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, really appreciate it.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.